I'd like to do before we go over is to just share a little bit about baptism as I see it, and I just put a context so that if you're unfamiliar with this notion of baptism, particularly baptism in which you immerse someone in water as distinct from child baptism, which is when they get christened, that this might be helpful for you this morning and just make a little sense of what we're going to be doing. I'm not sure what scriptures, we haven't quite got the same, because our new technology hasn't quite caught up with us. So at the moment we've got a HCSB version up there, whatever that is. But I put it up there because it's better than nothing. So my version doesn't match that. I'd like just to begin with something that happened in John 3, and I'll read it from my version here. Do the best you can to follow it up there. After dark one evening, Nicodemus came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. And then Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And what do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus, how can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Okay, these two things. Now, Jesus is very explicit here. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's an intelligent guy. In fact, later on, Jesus says to him, how come you're a teacher in all of Israel and you don't understand these things? But Nicodemus didn't understand them. And Jesus says something very clear. He said, he said, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, there are two things that have to happen. One is to be born of water, and one is to be born of the Spirit. So what is that, water and Spirit? Well, to begin with, I'd like to say it's very simple. One is cost, and the other is gift or reward. One is cost, one is reward. One is the price you pay, and the other is the gift you get. That's really in simple terms. A water is about the price we pay in giving our lives to Jesus. And believe me, anybody that has given their life to Jesus knows there is a cost involved in that. If you're 16, it's probably first to lose all your friends, or invite persecution, or have to make decisions as to whether you're going to sleep around or not, or whatever it is you might want to do. Those decisions have to be made, and there's a cost involved in that. The Spirit is the reward or the power that God gives us to be able to live out the cost. That's really it in a nutshell. God doesn't ask us to pay a price on something and then say, fine, I'm going to leave you on your own. You can do it all by yourself. No, he gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to help us overcome. And it is about overcoming. And in fact, at the end of the Bible, Jesus talks about to him that overcomes will be given, will be rewarded. If we just go to Jesus' own experience of what he did, it gives us a better insight, even more so, to this issue of cost. And this we find in Matthew 3, 13 to 16, and this must be the HSCB, it sounds like a bank, doesn't it? The HCSB version. He says this, and this is from Matthew 3, 13. And Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John, but John tried to talk him out of it. I love the NLT's way of doing it. He said, I am the one who needs to be baptized by you. He said, so why are you coming to me? Now, John the Baptist recognized something intrinsic about Jesus, and one thing was this, that it wasn't John that should be baptizing Jesus, it was Jesus that should be baptizing John. But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. And then it goes on to say how the Spirit of God came down on Jesus. Jesus was not sinful. And therefore he didn't need to get baptized to deal with the power of sin over his life. This is what Paul teaches in Romans 6. And we'll look at that in a moment. He didn't have to deal with sin. He was sinless. He committed no sin. So why was he getting baptized if for us an aspect of baptism is to deal with that power of sin in our lives? He did it because actually it reflected the fact that he was laying his life down at that point for the service of God. He was laying his life down, as the Bible says, for a ransom for many. He was paying the price, which he pays on the cross, which he paid on the cross, for the benefit of you and I, having our sins forgiven, so that we could access a holy God who we could never access without the power of Jesus, that on our behalf. Anybody that thinks they can get to heaven because they go to church or read the Bible or go through some religious, you know, sayings or whatever it is deceived. You can only get to God because of Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me, says Jesus. So he gets baptized here, and he gets baptized because he says publicly, I am about to pay the price for my life. He says later on, he said, you know, I only do what I see my Father doing. And in Gethsemane, the story when he's actually very shortly to be taken by the Romans and the whole process of his crucifixion begins, he says, Father, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Remove this near obligation, this thing that's before me. If it's possible, remove it. And he says in the same breath, he says, no, not my will, but thy will be done. He said, there, I'm not here for myself. I'm here for God. And that's what baptism starts with. It's death of self. And it's a big step. Listen, baptism is a sacrament. Okay, we go to a swimming pool. It's an ordinary pool. And it's ordinary water. That's why Jesus said, you know, unless you're born of water, why water? Well, there's lots of water illustrations in Scripture, like Noah and things like that, and the Red Sea, what Moses went through. But ultimately, the idea of being born of water is because water represents, at the very heart of the gospel, sacrifice. That's what it is. It's sacrifice. Even getting baptized is in itself a sacrificial act. It's a humbling, isn't it? I'm not getting in water. Why should I get baptized? Why should I get wet? But there's a humility which says, actually, and it was interesting, Kim said this, said, I'm doing it because, I think it actually was Nikki, I'm doing it because actually Jesus did it. I'm doing it for that reason. And so, when a person gets baptized, and we'll just go to Romans 6 here. Here is Jesus. He goes through the waters of baptism. He comes out. The Holy Spirit powerfully comes upon him. He begins his ministry. That ministry is a ministry towards his death, the death of his human life. But he's doing it for a reason. It's to serve God. In one sense, we die, just like Jesus, to ourselves in order that we might live for Jesus. When I became a Christian at 16, I knew there were consequences to that. There were massive consequences to that. It changed my life. Why? Because I couldn't mix in the way I used to. I didn't have the same behaviors. I had to make different choices, and I couldn't be with friends that I once used to be because they did things that I didn't feel God approved of anymore. So I was on my own. It marginalized me. There's a cost to it. That's what Christianity is about. It's not some soft sell, you know. It's not some easy peasy thing that you just go and do and I'm a Christian and hallelujah, praise the Lord. We may worship here in all the extremities of our worship, but believe me, outside in that world, we have to live for God. And that's a challenge. It means saying no to things and yes to things. It means discipline. It means responsibility. It's a lot of things to live for God. And I've lived 50 years with Jesus, and I can honestly tell you about millions of them. Of the challenges, of the difficulties, of the disappointment, of the letdowns, of where is God with me today? Why did God let this happen and that happen? A baptism is that point where you lay down your life, and it's a public display of you doing that, so everybody testifies. Like marriage is a sacrament, you see. When you marry in front of people. They testify to your commitment, to the promises you make. You get baptized in public and you're showing to everyone, this is what I want from now on. I want to live for God. I want to live for Jesus. I want him to be the person in my life. For me to live is Christ. But the reward is to die is gain. And so here comes along Paul in Romans 6, and he sort of puts a bit of theology around this. And he says this, well then should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace. What should we say then? Should we continue to sin in order that grace may multiply? What he's saying is there are people out there, and what they're saying is, look, because God gives grace to us and forgives us, the more we sin, the more grace we get through his forgiveness. So if we sin, it's good. That's the thinking. That's what he's addressing. It's a deception. And this is happening in the church at that time. In the time of Paul, there was incredible sexual immorality. I mean, stuff you wouldn't even today you think is bad. But to Corinthianize is a verb which means to be sexually depraved. That's what that word means, Corinth. Because there were a depraved community in Corinth at that time, and Christians were being drawn out of that community, and they were being drawn into the holiness of God, and they were having to face the realities of this whole situation, of how they lived. So Paul was addressing this all the time, but some people, they wanted to go back into this depraved lifestyle. It was cultural. This wasn't just about sin. It was a culture they lived in. I'd been in it for years. And they wanted to go back in it. So they had in their mindset, well, what we need to do is we'll sin and sin and sin, and then God can forgive us, and then we'll have the grace of God, won't there? So we're giving God the opportunity by sinning to forgive us. That was the thinking. It's utter rubbish. And Paul says this. He says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? And Paul says, of course not. He said, since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Jesus Christ in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives, since we have been united in his death. Baptism is a major requirement of Scripture because it puts to death the old life. There have been times when I have baptized people and I've prayed over them. You know, Nikki mentioned about alcoholism, but there's been drug addiction and all sorts of other stuff. And I ask God to release them from those things at the point of baptism, because if they're going down in the waters of baptism and they're saying sort of goodbye to the old life and they're coming up into the new life, they need the power of God to set them free. And very often at the point of baptism, God will perform a miracle in a person's life so that something that had got hold of them, they've been in prison for years, God suddenly set them free. It's amazing. You have to see it to believe it. Sometimes it's a healing. Sometimes someone's whole life has been governed by health issues, you know. Never really been well. A little bit like Nikki was saying about her double vision. You know, maybe arthritis, or it can be something, and they go down in the waters of baptism and you pray over them, the power of God comes over them and it sets them free. Because the old life is being put to death. So when we come out of the waters of baptism, does it mean, you know, we're like sort of some shining angel walking around like a foot off the ground in some sort of, you know, sci-fi movie? No, we're not aliens, we're not tomorrow's people, or whatever we might think we are. We're just simply, again, just ordinary people with the power of God in our lives. Do we have temptation? Yeah. Do we have to make choices? Yeah. Do we have responsibilities? Yes. And are we still having every day to walk carefully with God? Yes. And can we get dragged away from our Christian life? Yes. Can we give up on Christianity? Yes. It will happen if you give yourself into this world and you stop living in the reality of your baptism by faith. Then the likelihood is you just slide back into the norms. Let me say this to you. God has set us free from the power of sin and death. That's what happens. We're no longer under judgment. Sin separates from God, and it separates from God eternally. Jesus takes sin away so that we can have a relationship with God. But in that relationship, we have to live out our baptism. So we don't get baptized and go and do something really outrageously sinful the day after. Or just think, oh, well, I've done it, I've checked the box, ticked the box, and great, you know, I've done that bit, that's the baptism done, that's the Jesus bit done, that's that bit done, now I can live as I like. No, that's the whole problem. You can't live as you like any longer. Do you know, I never, ever invite anybody to know Jesus unless I first tell them the cost. Why bother to deceive them into thinking it's all rosy and wonderful and lovely? It's not. But I have discovered this. Somebody that really wants Christ in their lives has a feeling about it. Like there's something they want and they're hungry. And it's like Jesus once told a parable. He said, you know, this farmer found a precious pearl and it was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. And he looked at it and he covered it up again. And he went off and he sold everything he had, gave up everything he had, all the money he'd get together to buy that pearl, to obtain it, because what he saw was so precious and good. And he said, that's like the kingdom of God. When you really see what it's like, when you see the glory of God lifted up, everything's worth giving. Why? Because the reward is always massively greater than the cost. That's the whole issue about Christianity. It says, you know, God is no man's debtor. Well, you give to God, he gives you tenfold back. Whatever my life has sacrificed for God, God has always, always given back to me more than I've ever given to him. And I've still got eternity at the end of it. Do you know, when I was baptized, I never understood any of this at all. I was completely ignorant about baptism, if I'm honest. I only did it because it just seemed that it was the right thing to do. That's all. I didn't hear any teaching on it. No one took me aside and told me what it was about. I just felt this is the right thing. Actually, my baptism was a really electric experience. There was something really good about getting baptized. And I remember my dad and mum came and they weren't Christians. I invited them to come to my baptism. I don't think my dad was overimpressed by it, but we went out a drink afterwards. And I was in this pub having a drink after baptism. And I just had this buzz going through me all the time. And it wasn't the alcohol, you know, it was just what had happened. You know, I just got wet really, but I just was sitting there buzzing, you know, and I was really happy. My mum and dad were probably in the cool light of day, you know, and it wasn't, and for my dad, it was like winning a darts competition, you know, go and have a celebrate, you know, or, you know, I've just got an exam or something. That was like my dad. But for me, I was saying, this baptism thing had really got to me, you know. I can't say that's the same for everybody, but that was my experience. But as time went on, as I got older and I learned and I read the Bible and I understood things, but I realized that this baptism is a really important, you know, special moment. When we're really saying, Lord, it's the end of me. Wow, that is big, isn't it? End of me. And it's all about you. For me to live is Christ. One of the big problems with Christianity globally, not just here, America, or, you know, in the Europe or Middle East or Far East, you know, is that Christians don't understand the cost. They just want it as a bit of a doddle, really, just easy stuff, easy come, easy go, go to church, make friends, a bit of networking. But true Christianity is costly. When I see persecution, like used to get in Europe, in Romania, under the communists, and some of those terrible things that were done in China, where, you know, had underground churches trying to survive, people in fear all the time for their faith. And yet, you know, what's remarkable in those countries was the church grew. Isn't that strange? You'd have thought with all that pressure, all that persecution, all that secretiveness that had to go on. That I once went to visit a couple in Thailand, actually, and they'd just come from China, and they were telling me about their experiences, you know, and all the time they're an English couple, they were living on the edge, careful what they said, who they spoke to, where they went, always felt that there was somebody watching. But they didn't give up their faith, they'd been baptized. And their old life had gone, and they were a new creation in Christ Jesus, and they want to live this life, and if the end they laid their lives down for God, then it would be a privilege to do so. Because in the end, your baptism, unless you're born of water and of the Holy Spirit. And last week in this meeting, we prayed for everyone to be baptized in the Spirit. People came forward to be filled with the Spirit. Great morning. These two coming together is what writes eternity right across your soul. When you're young, you've got a long way ahead of you. It doesn't matter quite so much. When you get to my age, I look forward to going to heaven. I enjoy living on this earth, by the way. And God's really blessed me, actually. Just about everything I put my hand to over the years, in the end, God has blessed me. And so we're in a comfortable time in my life, but I'm not sitting here trying to make the most out of. You know, Lynn and I were talking yesterday about holidays. And we decided we're really struggling to find a holiday because we've done so many things. God has really helped us, whether it's privately, together, or whether it's in the service of God, traveling all over the place. And, you know, I said to Lynn, I don't really want that much, if I'm honest. It's really funny, actually, to have a caravan. And actually, I like that. That's what I like. I like plugging all the pipes in and taking it somewhere and having coming out and having grass all over the place. It will be nice and neat and toilets that you can use that are clean and stuff like that. You know, you think, why, when we could go on a cruise or we could do some exotic holiday in the South America, but we choose not to. It's not because, it's just because it doesn't matter. It's not, we're not driven by that anymore. I'm not saying if you do that, it's not wrong. There's nothing wrong or right about this. It's just that my heart is now for God. And I look forward because, you know, not the most fantastic holiday in this world is not going to compare to 5 minutes in heaven, I'll tell you that. It's the reward that comes from the cost. Spirit is a gift. Getting baptized creates a responsibility. The Spirit is our reward to God to help us through our Christian lives. But we don't need the help unless we're prepared to pay the price. Because you know, God never ever compromises heaven to bring the numbers up. Some churches today, they'll open their doors to anything. Doesn't matter any rubbish that's going on. But God doesn't do that. He has a standard. That standard is Jesus. And if you meet the standard of Jesus, you get welcomed into heaven. If you don't, you don't. And if you don't like God because of that, and you have a whole range of things you don't understand. You know, one of the things I love most about knowledge is that it makes me more in love with Jesus. If you seek knowledge, always let that knowledge improve your love for God. If you only want knowledge for knowledge's sake, it puffs up, the Bible says. It makes you proud. It puts you in confrontation with God because you don't want to see, you don't understand God, and therefore because you don't understand him, you confront him. But the fact is that, you know, when we're living in Jesus Christ, knowledge finds a really good place, and that knowledge that we have actually improves our love for him. That's what knowledge should do. Over the years, I've studied the Word of God. It improves and extends my love for God, not just fills my head with a whole load of facts. This is the life that you live in Christ. It's an example, really. So this is baptism. This is what's going to happen. We are going to be using an ordinary swimming pool, and we're not inviting angels to help us do this. The water hasn't got anything magic in it, except some chlorine, I expect. It's a really quite ordinary affair. But when you transfer the ordinariness into what is actually happening in heaven and on earth, then it takes on a whole different dimension. You know, marriage is like that. One of the problems with marriage is, over the years, it's become so expensive as well as incredibly lightweight. There's no faith in it. It's just going through emotion. I can understand why people don't want to get married. But if you put marriage into the same context as baptism, and you then give it meaning and give it a place, you understand why marriage to God is so important and isn't to be messed with. But the world has just messed it up. Oh, this morning, we don't want just ordinary getting wet. What we want for Kim and for Nikki is a powerful ministry of Christ into their lives at this moment that will allow them for the rest of their lives to be committed to the power of God, to his work, to his kingdom, and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus set the example for us just about everything. Lord, when he went through the waters of baptism, he expressed that he was now about to pay a price. That his life was no longer his, but it belong to God. And Lord, as we consider these things this morning, we pray that in this time of baptism, the full reality of these truths, of this revelation, goes home to Nikki, Lord, and to Kim, but Lord, even to those present here. That, Father, they may just have a fresh revelation, a fresh insight of your preciousness, of your love, of your goodness, of your grace. All those things are wonderful gifts to us. But that we may need to remind ourselves, Lord, that we have an obligation to live with you and to walk with you. Father, we just thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We're just going to worship God with one song. It'll be a well-known song, "Jesus We Enthrone You." We don't have to worry about words, but it is a song where, you know, we talk about God being enthroned in our lives, which is very much about what baptism is all about. When we've worshipped, I know my Kim has just something she wanted to share, a scripture that she read that she felt was important for today. And then we'll do the baptisms. But like I said earlier, sometimes, often people want to pray for, you know, for people who are getting baptised, but it can get a bit cold and vulnerable in the water, just standing there, people praying. So it'd be good to do that before. I'll do Nikki first, and then Kim afterwards. But if you feel you want to pray for Nikki, then we do just before she gets in the water, rather than after. Dave and I will pray while we're in the water. But let's just worship God, shall we? Jesus, we are thrown.
Jesus, we are thrown you. We proclaim your name. Standing here in the midst of
today is a really, really important step. And Ruth said this to her mother-in-law, but I really felt it was you two saying this to God. And it's in the first book of Ruth, first chapter of Ruth, and it says, "Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. And I just felt for you, this is such a big step, that you're making that step of saying, Lord, where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. And where your people are, that's where I'll be also.
Okay. Right, Nikki. Time to give you the water. I'll go first, I'll test it out before you get on.
Normally,
here we go.
Rich, are we
going
to pray first before she gets in?
Oh, yes, jumping the gun on time. If anybody wants to pray for Nikki, we're not talking about 10 minute prayers here, but if people want to just pray for Nikki, just gather around now.
Father, we really thank you for Nikki and Lord for the way that you have come into her life and made yourself so important to her, for her revelation, her understanding of you, her speed at which she has taken hold of the good things of yourself. Lord, at this moment now, we pray that your blessings will be upon her. Her baptism will be a real moment for her, Lord. This decision she's making that for the future, Lord, she's going to be where your people will be and go where you go, do what you do, Lord, as part of her responsibility and her sacrifice of her life for the Lord Jesus. And we just pray now that you truly bless her in this moment. Amen.
Father, I want to thank you that this baptism signifies that her old life is gone.
Yes.
And she has a new life now in you, Christ Jesus. And we thank you for that.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, I just want to pray that she will continually be filled with the knowledge of your will,
yes,
in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so she might walk worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing you in every good work.
Amen.
Thank you for the care and love and compassion that she naturally has, Lord Jesus. And I just know that you're going to use that as she reaches out to other people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done and what you're doing and what you're going to do in her life. Amen.
Nikki, in Ephesians 3, it says, God will do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine through the power that works through us. And Father, I pray that that will be Nikki's testimony, Father, that she will see you work through her in many ways, Father, more than she can think and imagine, Father, Lord, that you will be the power that works through her every single day, that you're with her, Lord. You will guide her and lead her, and that she can completely trust in you because you're that faithful God. And we thank you. We thank you now for Nikki, Father, and really bless her, Father, in her baptism, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for Nikki. Lord, I thank you that your word says that when we love you, you will never, ever leave us and you'll never forsake us.
Amen.
And we know that for Nikki, wherever her life goes, Lord, whatever path she walks, Lord God, you will never leave her and you'll never forsake her. Thank you, Father.
Always have a good sort of orchard.
Hallelujah for us.
No, Dave, no, Ed's moved that way. So, Nikki, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour?
I do.
Because you've confessed Jesus as your Lord, I have real pleasure now in baptising you in the name of the Father, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When I do this, I want a real loud cheer as you bring her up out of the water, okay? You ready? Amen. So, this is just praying that this baptism will be just so real to Nikki, that day by day, Lord, she will live out the reality of what she's done. And the word that Kim brought, Lord, may she just feel that's her heart's desire. And this baptism, Father, is just that first step now for the rest of her life, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
There's a king who I'm going to stand over here. Who wants to pray for Kim? Anybody wants to stand with Kim and pray with her?
We're moving in here. Drones.
Father, we really thank you for Kim and Lord for this revelation she has of you, and Lord, for the way that you've introduced yourself to her life. Lord, I just really ask you now to touch her life in a very special way, particularly, Father, as she's going back to Hong Kong and I believe then into China, Father, for a period of time, Lord, in terms of fellowship. In Lord, just being with her, strengthening her friendship she makes. And just finding other Christians, Lord, that she can be with. But now, Father, in this moment, Lord, I just want to thank you for this baptism, that it's going to be powerfully meaningful to her. And Lord, we'll just bring together her baptism in the Spirit and her faith in you, and this final moment of being baptized will just, so to speak, tidy it all up for her before she leaves. Bless her richly in the months ahead in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I thank you for bringing Kim here to have her experience you completely. Father, bless her in her journey with you.
Yeah.
That wherever she may be around the world, that she's always with you.
In Jesus' name.
She's always in your heart.
Yes, Lord.
And she would do all things to Christ that will strengthen her, Lord. Father, keep her from being super excited about you. And to always surround herself with people that love you and that will always guide her heart in the right place. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, I thank you for Kim and for bringing her here, Lord. And it's been just such a joy to see how you've just worked in her life, Lord. You've brought her to you, Lord. You've brought her to us, Lord. And Lord, where she goes next, Lord, I thank you that your promise is that you'll never leave her, Lord God. That there is nowhere in this world that she goes where you're not close, Lord, when you can't reach out and touch her life. Mm-hmm. Sort of pray for her today, Lord, as she receives from you, as she's baptized, Lord. Mm-hmm. I thank you, Lord, this will be a moment just in eternity for her, Lord God, and that she will never forget it, Lord God, and just be reminded of this as she goes on with you. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Okay, you ready? You're dying, aren't I'm reliably informed that Kim can hold her breath for a very long time. So we're going to test that out now. Don't worry. Kim, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour?
Yes.
You're really eager, aren't you? Wow. Praise God. Because you've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord to everybody here, I have great pleasure in baptising you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This morning, Lord, and the confession made, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, I know what difference it made to me, baptism. I pray that this will have the same influence in Kim's life, Lord. The old is truly gone, Lord, and the new is here, Lord, and it's a new that's going to take us forward into the future with you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We bless Kim, Lord, now, and we ask you to pour out your Spirit on him and bless him again. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Anybody else want to be baptized while they're here? Speak now or further hold your peace.